Coming to you live from Not My Apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who got his eyebrows waxed just to be here with you tonight. I am Rob Sestrinino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Big Brother 22 recap here on Wednesday night. As I would say, it was the Power of Veto competition night, not the Power of Veto ceremony night here on Big Brother. I had too much to get to tonight. Couldn't fit the ceremony in on tonight's jam-packed episode of Big Brother 22. We're here to talk about it all here with another great panel. We're very excited to bring back a Wednesday's favorite. Here is Melissa Denny, the voice of the people.
The voice of the people. I'm back, everybody. Thank God. Another Wednesday, another fun episode. We saw a lot of fights tonight. They weren't necessarily the fights that I like to see on an episode, but, you know, to be fair, we asked for fights and drama, and we got it. So
more
what more do you want?
Night. Yeah, right. That's right. Okay. All right. A man who I'm sure is ready to Twitch stream the Big Brother 22 comic book fighting, Puya Zivakili is here. Puya, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. It is an honor to be here to tier list all of these fighters on their acumen, on their capabilities, and the remaining house guests on their draft abilities. I'm excited to break all of that down with y'all today.
Oh, we're going to do the draft.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah.
Very exciting. All right. And then also, we had a great time on the slop the other day. Back with us tonight to talk about everything going on. Grace Leader is here. Grace, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I just want to say, if you don't like this face, it don't matter, yo. I'm here. That's it, yo.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Grace, welcome back. We got a lot to break down. We got a question link for you on my Twitter at Rob Sestrinino. You can tweet us your questions for tonight's show. We'll take those, talk about everything that is going on. It is a very weird week for me here that I really appreciate Taryn filling in for me on Monday night. We had a death in the family. My Uncle Freddie passed away and had to be there for the wake on Monday night, and then I'm back here tonight, and then my brother is getting married this week, so I'm going to be out for Thursday night and for Friday night for the recap of the recap. So it's a sort of a weird week. Here's the one night that I'm here, but what a great episode to talk about. I'm very excited to be here with you to talk about it all. All right, so we have I don't think we can skip anything. I think we should go through every single thing that happened here tonight.
But there's too much going on. We couldn't we could not skip anything, or else, you know, you wouldn't be able to understand the rest of the season as it plays out. So I think that this is very important that we get every detail here.
Yeah. Grace, this is really just so bizarre, this situation that we're in right now with Big Brother, where that they just have overbooked the Big Brother house by about 2 weeks. They did not need all this time.
Yeah, I was on Renap with you about drag, and this is quite the drag here at the end of the season. I think that maybe they were expecting to have a Final Four, that there was a little bit more gameplay and intrigue, and it's just not what's happened. Pretty clear cut here at the end, so dragging out a bit more than we probably would like to see.
Yeah, what happened, Puya? Was the Final Five last season so exciting, and there was a lot of gameplay between Jackson and Holly, and with Nicole and Cliff last season? That they're like, oh no, we need a lot of time at the Final Four.
I don't know. I mean, someone better get Steve Harvey, because I swear, survey does not say the final third of the game is when we are interested to be here. They've really stretched it out. I feel bad for Mulan, because they're really milking that cow for all it's worth over here at the stretch. So here we are. Not a lot going on, but I mean, honestly, some of these episodes, low-key, they make for the best podcasting. So yeah, at least there's some benefit there for us.
Yeah, give us something to do, so I'm happy. But I just don't even know, when they turn these episodes in at CBS, do you think they're getting notes back of, bravo, well done, you nailed it again?
Checks
they're probably
in the
just
mail.
Yep, good, love it.
You don't think they're like, is this all there is? Is there anything else? Is there anything else?
And they're like, yeah, no, there's nothing else.
Yeah,
this
okay.
Is it.
All right, Grace. There was a lot of focus on Christmas tonight. This was one of Christmas's biggest episodes of the season.
Yeah, Christmas really getting the underdog edit here at the end. The revival story of Christmas, Christmas season. A lot of
like a Hallmark movie. You thought Christmas was canceled. This one person is aiming to bring Christmas back.
Yeah, she's doing her best. She's going to win the veto. No, she does not win the veto. But, you know, how much more Christmas crying can we get in an episode?
A lot, it turns out. And not even just about the game, because that look, there's not a lot to talk about here in the beginning. Let's jump to BB Comics, the Clash of the Comics. Melissa, what a blindside this was for me tonight to have this luxury competition here.
Yeah, I knew about a luxury competition. I didn't know that this was what the luxury competition was. I thought there was going to be maybe some sort of competition involved in the luxury competition. But yeah, we got this. I couldn't believe I was sitting there watching it. I was just like, is this real? I don't know who thought it was a good idea or what would make it very exciting to just see like cartoon figures like fake beat each other up for like predetermined random outcomes. Like, I just feel like there was nothing there for me, like literally nothing there for me. And then we just got a lot of reaction shots of everybody sitting on the couch like, oh, go get them. It's like, these are literally just like cartoons. It was very bad for me.
Cody's got to fill out that acting reel. He's got to fill it out.
He's going to use that in his clips. And him like being surprised about the shrink ray. Where'd they
showed up every battle. There was no yada. We watched the whole thing. Because, Puya, I've been a little out of the Big Brother loop here over these last 48 hours. So I did not know we were getting this luxury competition tonight. But I was like, wait, say what? What are we doing now? What? They're going to play a video game? Oh, they're going to watch basically some like poor man's Super Smash Brothers Street Fighter game anytime you get a chance to bring back those BB comics that were gold, you got to do it. Got to bring them back.
The intrigue was there, right? Could see. Here's the thing. Done was right, yes. As someone who's enjoyed checking out a simulated Royal Rumble with people I know, familiar faces, as someone who's listened to a Brand Steel simulation of people I know, this is like a home run fantasy. However, not in this execution, because this is very clearly, so they drafted people, but also, these animations were done beforehand. They always knew who was going to win. But also, this isn't like they did a whole video game simulation. They straight up decided who was going to win. So if you have any qualms on who ended up being the winner, they chose this. For some reason, the winner had to be the comic they chose. And that's the thing I'm most intrigued about.
I mean, that Melissa, if they were going to do this, they have such a blank slate to do this. Why not get 16 Big Brother people that you couldn't really get on the season? You can't give me like Dr. Will and Dan as comics?
Yes, at the very least. At the very, very least. Like, I mean, it wasn't even, I think I may have enjoyed it more had we not just seen BB Comics and already seen these comics. Like, if these were new situations, like, oh, look, we've got like Christmas and she's Mrs. Claus or whatever. Like, and it was the first time we had seen it. Like, then at least that would be exciting. Mm-hmm. And it'd be like, okay, what's the next comic? But instead it was like, okay, we already knew about all these comics. We've already spent a lot of time on them and a lot of time dissecting them afterwards. And now all of a sudden we're watching it again, except this time they're mobile and the contestants themselves, the house guests themselves aren't even doing anything. Like, at least for BB Comics, you get the initial reveal of what the comics are, and then you see the house guests compete. But in this situation, we weren't seeing anything. We were just like watching TV TV.
Can we point out weird. Nicole had, I think, the line of the night, which is reflective of the whole season, where she said, yeah, there's really no strategy here. That's kind of the whole game. There's no strategy, nothing to do.
Yeah, well, she's not wrong.
No, my favorite bits had nothing to do with what was going on the screen. It had to do with the over-the-top Cody staring down Enzo's soul as his character is pretending to beat up his character. Those are the points I liked. Obviously, you brought it up, the whole acting gig. This is Cody. We know that he's been doing his movies, and it's really paying dividends here with the over-the-topness of his reactions as comics were taking on each other.
I thought we were going to get some real conflict when Christmas started rooting against Cody. I thought Cody was legitimately upset that Christmas was rooting against him. And that was the most excited I was during the whole segment. I've heard people complain before that, like, hearing other people talk about their fantasy drafts is not the most riveting. I think I get it now after watching them draft Clash of the Comics characters. I think I get it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this wasn't like that Big Brother heard, like, hey, I hear Big Brother, or people really like it watching people play video games. What if we brought that into Big Brother this season? That's our idea.
It's exactly what it is. And it's a day late because we got the biggest video game stream of all time last night of the year. However, again, if they had made, I know this would be asking too much, but if
Dan,
they had
he's
made,
playing, you like video games, watch this.
I heard you're into that kind of stuff. That's what I'm saying, like, if they had made an even like a very basic Tekken or Street Fighter that was 8-bit, 64-bit, whatever, that would have been more fun for me personally.
They should have had them play Among Us last night.
I mean, hey, 10K on the line, people would be betraying one another big time.
And
I don't know, there's 500K on the line, they're not really betraying each other. So.
This game was just, like, I don't even understand what was happening with that. Sometimes people were shooting electricity, sometimes people just got punched, sometimes people were just dying and they weren't even getting hit. What was this?
What was this?
Yeah.
You're asking the wrong person, Rob, because I've been asking that ever since I saw it on the episode. I honestly, it's not for me. I'll say that. Like, this is not why I watch Big Brother.
Who was this for?
I really don't know who it was for. Maybe, I guess Puya, maybe. He seemed to enjoy himself. But
if they release on the App Store tomorrow for like $3.99, are you not buying it? Are you not?
For $3.99? I'm
Grace,
not buying that.
Isn't there a Big Brother video game? I feel like I've seen people talking about this. Was this sort of the guy? We got to get in on the hype.
The video game. There is a Big Brother video game out there.
So for me, there were some like talking points, right? So first of all, the audacity that Kacer would be picked last. Yeah. That was audacious.
Yeah,
for whatever reason. And then the Podmaster is up there in the early picks. And then, Easter egg for y'all. If you looked at her name during the fighting, it was just Podcaster. They just made her a podcaster. They demoted her mid-game. So there you have it. That's how much they think of her abilities, because they just removed the M and put a C there. So there you go.
Yeah.
It's a bug. It's a bug.
It's wild. So we had the added element that we were going to draft people for how this was going to work. Melissa, was there any sort of way to hack the draft, do you think?
I don't think so, because I guess they said it was all random. I mean, who knows? I do think I guess what you could do in the draft, which I do think Nicole did, is try to rehab your image and try and make it so that like any weird relationship you had with the person in the house, you kind of like mend fences a little by being like, look, this guy is so good and talented, and you know, I don't want to go against them, so I'm going to draft them, you know, like Nicole. And I thought that would be the one benefit to this competition at all.
She did that, and then at the end of the thing, when she it doesn't work if Nicole and Janelle are on the same team. It doesn't work. So she blew it. All the goodwill she had bought.
Did a little bit lose it there. But, you know, I do think that, like, that would be my strategy in using this. It's like, oh, if I had a big fight with someone, I'd be like, oh, well, you know, this person was up, will be on my side, you know. So, I don't know, whatever.
I mean, it did cause the biggest betrayal in the history of Big Brother, which is Christmas not Ultimate picking Memphis. The biggest betrayal in the history of the show.
The ultimate betrayal.
Yeah. Puya, how did they ultimately figure out the Brant Steele of it all, of who was going to win each fight? Was this like production flipped a coin? Like, why did they do that? And what was their decision making process? And how did they not rig it to have Davon beat Memphis at the end? At least they could have given you Davon wins the video game, of all things. That Davon still has to lose even in this video game.
She's only allowed to win one comp, apparently, and this wasn't it. That's what I'm saying. My fascination with it is how, of all the characters, you're like, you know what? He's been on the season the longest out of these people. The people love him. No, they don't. Let's go with Memphis, the guy with the big fist who, Enzo had a lot of comments about that big fist as well while this whole thing was going on. And it was fascinating to me. I was like, this is where you put someone who we haven't seen in a minute, a fan favorite, put them back in. And again, this is not that big a deal. So that would have been a good win. Ultimately, also, how anticlimactic is it that the final two was two of Nicole's own players? Like, it was over. It was over before the final. Like, come on. Do something.
Yeah.
I would say that the only way that they could have made this interesting to me, I guess, is if... is if maybe they, like, had some sort of fan vote as to, like, okay... Like, pick the people that you want to win. And then, the fans, they end up having an order of, like, a win order based on the fan vote. Then the people have to draft based on what they think the fans like or, you know, something like that. And then that way we see what the house guests see in regards to, like, who they think is a favorite and not a favorite. And then they get to see who we think is a favorite. You know, I just think that would be, like, an interesting element.
Christmas would have been ranked last, and we've got another segment of Christmas crying. That's the way to go.
Yeah, that's true. That's enough crying for one episode, probably.
Okay. Puya, any of these matchups intrigue you from the Clash of the Comics?
Do you have any of them up there so we can discuss?
I could tell you that. We start off with Bailey versus Nicole A, where
big robbery there.
The podcaster moved on.
That's right.
We had Ian versus Christmas, and Christmas Grace was so proud of herself after she beat Ian Terry in the video game.
She brushed her shoulder off. She was so proud in the diary room that her, you know. Christmas claws took home the victory.
Yeah. I mean, Christmas is just like the easiest person, I feel like, to just win over. Like, if you give her any compliment, she's just like, what? Really? You think so? Like, oh my, like, she's like any small achievement, she's just over the moon. Like, she's so easy to bring up. And then any little thing brings her right down.
It's hills and valleys with Christmas.
Hills and valleys.
Yeah, you could literally give her a 99-cent off coupon and be like, we picked you for this, and she would be over the moon.
I mean, 99% off is pretty good for
99 cents, Rob, not percent. No.
Yeah, 99 cents off.
Yeah, I'll take a 99% off coupon.
Yeah, 99% off coupon is great if you can get it.
I feel like I can understand the crying and like everything after you lose the veto because, you know, she probably thinks like I don't have a chance anymore. It was the crying prior to the veto where it was like the veto is what matters. Like that's what's going to determine if you go home or not. Not, you know, whether or not you're on the block right now. So it was kind of like, okay, yada, yada. Like, you know, I don't really care about what she's crying about because it doesn't make any sense. So I'm not really like moved by it or feeling anything for her. It's maybe like after the veto when she loses, that's where you could have got me because I'm, you know, very sensitive. But they didn't get me because she had already been crying the whole time.
Yeah. All these matchups were frustrating too. I think one of the more frustrating ones was Cody versus the Bandanimal, where, all right, it's Cody versus Kevin. Cody put him up on the block two times. They got into that argument. It's not all about you, Cody. All right, here's Kevin's chance for, and Cody went.
Yeah. I would have loved if all four of their characters,
over on him.
If they all flopped in the first round, that would have been making me very happy. And honestly, Grace, you're not wrong. I think Cody's feelings were getting hurt that Christmas was rooting against him. So yeah. it would have been
like,
phenomenal.
Yeah, come on, Callie, you could lose.
How dare you make fun of my drawing.
Callie?
I mean, that's what is Callie Fury. So, yeah, it makes it sound like he's a surfer, bro, but it works.
Yeah. I haven't gotten to say this yet on the podcast, but that I do have Cody in the draft. Very excited to...
In the Clash of the Comics draft?
No, in the real draft. That I could be on back-to-back years of winning the LFC draft, Melissa.
Don't you have Nicole too?
I have Nicole too, yeah.
Yeah, only, so you're like basically, I'm your only competition and I have Enzo.
Yes, yeah. Wow, boy. Let's just put to rest this notion that Rob is bad at drafting. Yes.
There was a cliffhanger tonight. Cody might get rid of Chris.
I don't want to get too far ahead.
Don't count your chickens before they hatch.
Yeah.
Okay. We have no idea what Cody's going to do.
Yeah. All right. And then it came down to Cody versus Daydream. Daydream wins, setting up Daydream versus Memphis. And I'm still stunned that Memphis won. Even if Memphis was the winner, I don't know how they didn't just who would know? Who would know? Now, I don't want to hear Big Brother is rigged anymore, because if it was, Davon would have beat Memphis.
They can't even rig the Clash of the Comics competition. Mm-hmm. That's true.
I imagine was the editor, the animator they chose for this on a time budget? They're like, listen, you messed up. We wanted the other result. We don't have time. Just leave. Just leave the product and go. Because they could have easily redone this and just changed the result. But hey, they can't be too predictable, right? They can't.
I know on the Slap we talked about Memphis branding some toys. Maybe this was paid promotion from Memphis.
Maybe he got a brand deal.
He got a brand deal.
But all of this was worth it for the segment that came after Clash of the Comics. Because on the night when Christmas cried, we have a 1 minute and 2 second monologue from Christmas, which I think was better than anything scripted television has produced in 15 years. As Christmas is getting emotional once again. I am on the road this week. I do not have the soundboard at full capacity, but I am going to be playing this for you via an iPhone. So hopefully the juice will be worth the squeeze here for Christmas's monologue.
And sound. I don't care that I didn't win $10,000. I'm just really upset that I went against my intuition, and I feel like I betrayed Memphis for not picking him. And it just sucks. I had so much fun in that comp, but it just made me, miss my friend. I feel like I just betrayed him by not even picking him. I knew I should have picked Memphis. I don't want him to feel any sort of way when he sees that I didn't pick him. And honestly, seeing his comic flying around just reminds me that he's not here, and it's painful to not be here with your best friend. Stupid Memphis.
This is the same exact type of emotional Christmas moment happens at the end of BB19, and she's talking about how she's falling in love with Paul. What is with this woman?
It always turns at the end of the season. She loses it, and we get some weird thing from her.
Bring her back every season.
Yeah, for real.
All you acting students out there, that's your monologue. That's what you need to be auditioning with.
Yes, please share this on TikTok, everybody. The great Christmas monologue.
The great Christmas monologue.
Oh yeah, my favorite part of it is when she's like, you know, Memphis might be feeling some type of way when he finds out that I didn't draft him. Here's my reaction of Memphis when he finds out Christmas didn't draft him. Yeah, I don't care.
Exactly. There is no world of all the best friends you could have, you found the most apathetic to anything.
Yeah, okay.
He is not going to have feelings over this. I mean, I kind of understand why she's having feelings, because she didn't pick him for 3 rounds. He went second to last. Kacer was the only other person. But he hasn't cared about anything in that house except for getting rid of David, which he ended up doing. So that's all, really.
Also, her saying, just watching him fly around and beat other people up really reminded me of him. It's like he's got this giant fist. He's a cartoon character, and she's like, really made me reminded of him.
Punching other house guests.
Yeah,
it looked just like him. It's a resemblance.
Memphis was Christmas's best friend. Also,
I don't know where this story. I don't know where this narrative.
Wasn't he also gone? One of the people that was avoiding her last week.
Yeah, I feel like as soon as she was gone,
maybe less so.
she can just be like, he was my best friend. And everyone's like, I don't remember him being your best friend. And I love her. Like, I feel like she thinks she has like a playful like relationship with Memphis, or like they may like maybe like don't always act like they're the best of friends. So that's where the, at the end where she's like, stupid Memphis. Like, that's your best friend.
Oh God. That was,
I loved it.
That was great.
She feels she betrayed him, and she didn't go with her gut. And I really don't know why either.
Trust your intuition.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we're going to wax Enzo and Cody's eyebrows.
Yeah, very strategic. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Great gameplay.
Yeah. We started with working on Enzo's eyebrows, which Enzo told us,
I mean, it feels okay. I mean, I haven't been touched by a woman, so.
Oh, Enzo.
He knows where the comedy lies, and he brings it. He brings it.
He brought it. He brought it.
He went with the classic. I feel like he went with the generic, like, you want to make sure you don't have a unibrow wax, which like I feel like a lot of guys typically will try and go for anyways.
Yeah.
It's the Cody one that I was like, oh, this looks painful. Like, this does look painful to me.
Yeah, the Cody one was wild because, Grace, they really made it seem like that Christmas was being vindictive to Cody.
Yeah, it's a little revenge. He got a lot of work done there on his eyebrows, so.
Yeah, I wasn't on the podcast on Monday night, but I do want to say that one of my other favorite segments from this season was Cody's revelation about that he has a flaw that he really is upset about, that Cody is very sensitive about his nose. He looks in the mirror and he hates what he sees about his nose. And Enzo laughed at him, and he was very happy, or Enzo was, it was very insensitive to Cody. Melissa, I really loved that segment.
Yeah, I really didn't like that segment, Rob. I already got mad at Brent for his comments on the podcast about how a normal nose is a ski slope shaped nose.
Yeah, no, that was weird. That was odd. That was odd. I had the Schadenfreude of just Cody, who it made me feel good to know Cody has insecurities.
It true, brought me true. Up. True, true. I will say that is, you know, it's nice that Cody shared that. My biggest insecurity is my nose as well. So, you know, I understand it. And so that is why, you know, I just called out Matt Liguori on Twitter right now. You can go check it out, because he just tweeted, he made fun of Cody's large nose, quote unquote, because of his eyebrows make his nose look big. And I said, no, we do not know shame over here.
Wow.
No, I'm not for no shaming.
Let's not get carried away. I was just happy that Cody has insecurities.
I don't know if you should be happy that Cody has insecurities. I feel like that's also, you know, nice. Rob.
Can I say my insecurity is actually my eyebrows. When I first came out, the first picture I posted on Facebook, my cousin sent me a nice, she said, that's very nice. Congratulations. I'm very happy for you. You need to get your eyebrows waxed. First thing she
that's very nice.
So
but
now I have insecurities. So.
Yeah, see?
Okay.
Yeah, know what? I have an insecurity about my eyebrows, too, because on the podcast, somebody put in the comments one time, Melissa's eyebrows are too far apart, which I've never thought about myself, and now I can't unsee
Melissa,
it.
Melissa, stop reading the comments!
If we could get some positive feedback about Melissa's eyebrows in the comments tonight, that would be great.
Some nice, positive feedback. Like, just, you know, let's throw that on out there, just so everyone can feel good, mainly me.
Well, yeah, any insecurities you want, like, you want anybody to affirm any insecurities?
Yeah, my insecurity hides underneath the hat at all times, so you know what that is at this point.
Nose isn't even in my top 10. Maybe Mike Bloom will come on the podcast to help me rank my top 30.
Brand steal them, Rob. Brand steal them.
We're going to have them in the Clash of the Comics. Okay. Are we already up to the competition? Oh, no. We're getting ready for the competition. This was great. We talked about Christmas's monologue. I've got an Enzo monologue for you. Enzo was up in the HOH room looking down at Cody and Christmas. And he felt like that Christmas seemed like she was ready to go. Here's Enzo describing the action going on downstairs, giving us a play-by-play.
I mean, it feels okay. I mean...
Oh, wait, hold on. Wrong Enzo clip. I got two Enzo clips. Okay, Enzo.
What are you eating? That's a grilled cheese sandwich. Is that coffee? Oh, my God, it's caffeine. So now she's got protein. God, she's ready. Cody's pants are hella tight. They're hella tight right now. Loosen them up now. It's too tight. Pants are too tight right now. Look at Christmas's demeanor. She's chilling. She's laid back. Look at Cody's demeanor. It's too tense. Oh, my God. She puts it down. She wipes her fingers. Look at her. She's ready. He's wearing ankle socks with shoes. Doesn't look good, yo. This is not a good look. She's laid back drinking a coffee. She's like, I got this.
Yeah. Grace, Cody's ankle sock with the shoes.
With the shoes, yo. That's not right. That's
it was
not
foreshadowing,
right.
I thought, for a second. Oh, maybe Cody doesn't have this.
I don't know how else you're supposed to wear ankle socks, though. You're not supposed to wear them with shoes, because I have been doing it wrong for years.
I think the issue was, did he have dress shoes?
It might have been the type of shoe. I think it might have been the type of shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I loved that segment. I thought it was really funny. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the fact that I love when the dramatic music kicked in when he was talking about like the ankle socks. And he's like, oh, my God, he's wearing ankle socks with shoes.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, this is too funny. It was a good segment. If you're gonna have a funny segment, that's the kind of funny segment I go for.
Yeah. I feel like that Cody does often have very tight pants, but I feel like they're especially tight, like at the ankles. Like, I feel like that he has like a lot of pants that I feel like it's almost like he has like tights that they're like very much like looks very uncomfortable. Very stiff.
Yeah, stiff he leg. Does have very, very tight pants.
Yeah,
it's all in the calf highlights, Rob. That's who you want to put on display. You gotta get the calves going.
Is that why he has the ankle socks also and the tight ankles?
Hey, you're already covering up those calves, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You gotta show them off.
Yes. Grace, is grilled cheese maybe not the optimal sandwich before the Power Veto competition?
Talking about protein, I don't know if grilled cheese is the optimal protein. Normally, like, you're supposed to have like pasta and like, you know, some heavy carbs, you know?
Well, especially like, I mean, they didn't know this at the time, obviously, but especially right before you're about to run on a hamster wheel, you do not want to be like stuffing your face with stuff right then.
And really, not a lot of protein in grilled cheese.
No, that's hardly any.
Barely a sandwich.
Wait, are you telling me that Enzo hasn't studied nutrition?
I
feel like that's his children being like, no, there's tons of protein in grilled cheese. And then, all right, I'll make it grilled cheese, yo. All right. Yeah.
The same man who didn't know what a tea kettle was.
Yeah. Now, I picture Enzo making pasta and then cutting up little hot dogs into it and feeding his kids that, microwaving and feeding his kids. So I feel like him thinking grilled cheese has hella protein, it's on brand for Enzo.
Yeah. Can I give you one other Enzo clip from tonight that Enzo had a chance to win 10K in this competition, and Enzo was asked, what would he do with the money? Enzo's mind went right to a couple of big purchases.
You could buy a lot of things with 10 G's. A bigger TV, maybe another motorcycle. A bidet. I would buy a bidet.
Rob.
How many times, Puya, have we heard Enzo, one, talk about how he needs a bigger TV?
Mm-hmm.
He has a 75-inch TV.
Yeah.
He needs to go bigger.
September 27th of this year.
Yeah.
There was 10K on the line on the episode. Enzo talked about three things. He talked about two of those things again. Last time he said 80-inch TV, motorcycle, and clothes. He has since snubbed clothes for a brand new bidet. That's his new number three on the
line. $10,000 bidet. Imagine how good that bidet is.
Bedazzled bidet.
Bedazzled bidet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really, Big Brother 22 has had a lot of flaws, but I think it's done a real lot for the bidet boom.
I would say so. Good education on the bidets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with the toilet paper crisis we had earlier this year, a bidet is a good investment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's true.
All right. If anybody has some recommendations for bidet companies that we should be investing in, maybe that's a good move following Big Brother 22. Get a bidet, official bidet sponsorship. Okay. We got to our competition, and it was the official hamster watch memorial veto competition.
Boom. Love the nod.
I like the nod too. I like immediately went to Hamster Watch's Twitter and I was like, okay, has she said anything? Because mm-hmm. I thought it was so great, you know, to say, I don't know, to basically shout her out.
Yeah. Rob, when are you getting a Rob as a podcast competition?
I think that they did on Nicole Anthony when they changed her name from Podmaster to Podcaster. Yeah. I think that was a little right. subtle wink.
And in the which was it last season or was it the season where the final HOH having like BB20. A podcast theme? Yeah, yeah there we go. Yeah. On that one. Right. That was yeah. a big nod.
It was during BB20. So yeah, this podcasts have our thing in Big Brother now. Anyway, yeah. Melissa, did you like this for Final Four veto?
I did like this veto competition. I thought that it was interesting that it wasn't just like, I thought that it was nice because it wasn't about, okay, just know the day and you've got it. Because at this point, people know to study the days. Like at this point in the show, people know like, okay, we need to know the days. And so it used to be more of like, people didn't necessarily know to do that. So some people were studying, some people weren't, some people knew the answer, some people didn't. Now it's kind of like, people study it and they study it together. So everyone kind of knows the answer. And so if it's just a situation where you're like holding up a, you know, a sign or whatever, it doesn't really tell you anything about who's going to win it or anything. There's really no substance to it. But this one I thought was interesting because it combined physical and mental. And I just thought it was entertaining. And I liked the idea that people didn't immediately get out of competition. Like I liked that it was like a three strikes and you're out kind of situation.
Yeah. Got to really drag it out. That was that helped. And Grace, Enzo is a big dummy. Not good at this.
I know. I think you said everybody knew the day. I'm not sure that Enzo knew all the dates of everything that was all the questions tonight. And then I don't know. He just hasn't mastered that hamster wheel yet.
Yeah. Puya, any questions really take you by surprise here?
Not really. It was about standard thing. We had the triple brought up. We had the disruptor power brought up. Unless I mean, sorry, I can't think of one that really like caught me by surprise.
The replay, I thought was it was such a non thing that was like, wait, we're reminding people that the replay power was a thing.
Yeah, they must have run out because like also the three strikes and pretty much everyone had their bases loaded until like except for Cody. Right. So it took a while but it did come up in the middle. So it's not like it was like one of the last ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grace, we also had both times that the veto was used this season. It was like, what was the first time that the veto was used? And then what was the other time?
What was the last time? Trying to make it seem like it got used maybe more than it was. I talked about like, it's hard to find a balance between things that everybody will sort of know, like when powers are used, when vetoes are used, when the triple eviction happened versus it seemed like the one that maybe the most people kind of second guess what day had happened was when did Will tell them to think three steps ahead? Even then, I think most of them knew, but maybe tricked up one or two people, but it has to be something that everybody sort of has a fair playing field on knowing the answer without it being super obvious. So, I mean, it seems like a lot of the questions are pretty obvious, especially if they're just studying. All summer. Nicole must be beating herself up that she told Christmas which day it was, although Christmas didn't win, but
yeah.
So Cody's gonna ultimately win the power of veto. Melissa, he is pumped up. He's ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, because if he didn't win this, there was a chance that he could be sent home if Christmas won. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like I don't think he was playing it up for the camera. I think he actually was concerned and should have been concerned that he might go home this week if he didn't win it. So I think that his celebration and him being pumped up that he won makes total sense to me.
Yeah. But now it's decision time for Cody because what's he going to do?
Is he going to use it? We don't know.
Is he going to use it and take himself off the make sure I guess he could take somebody down and then put him. No, he can't even do anything. There's no decision. Why did we end the episode and not even have him not use the veto?
Because there's nothing for the next episode. There's like only one decision to be made, which is then who's Cody's going to vote out. So they want to jam it into tomorrow's episode.
But is there typically a ceremony at the Final Four veto, or if the person who wins the Final Four veto that's not nominated, do they not even bother with the ceremony?
I don't think they bother with the ceremony. I think the ceremony is them evicting them because there's only one vote. So I think that's kind of like the ceremony.
Yeah, especially since he's not on the block. It's just it's essentially a ticket to vote, right? So it's like, yeah, I'm here and I'm basically going to say which one of you are leaving live in front of Julie. This is what I imagine is going to happen tomorrow.
I think we have seen ceremonies before, but only because the person was on the block and they were going to use it. So like there was going to be a change, whereas this one was just would have just been, you know, you can't do anything.
But Grace, what a cliffhanger we're left with where that you know, maybe Enzo can get Cody to vote out Nicole. That would be good.
I think that was the most frustrating part of this episode was the constant, like, going to Enzo to see what he was thinking when, like, there's literally everybody, no matter what, whoever wins the veto, it's already locked in, like, who they're going to take out. And Enzo thinking that he can somehow maneuver this week to get out Nicole was, like, almost, like, it's impossible because whether Cody won or Christmas won, they were just going to vote out each other. And so there was absolutely no way for Nicole to get out. But Enzo's playing up this, like, I'm going to get Nicole. I think I can convince Christmas to vote on Nicole. It's like it's impossible. So I think it was kind of the only annoying part of this, you know, the only part of this episode about Enzo that I didn't enjoy, probably.
The only bad part of this episode. The one thing.
Yeah. About Enzo. Yeah.
And then before we get to our questions here tonight, I just want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Features. And the holidays are right around the corner. And we know this because we have all of the Christmas puns ready to go. And it's time to start thinking about gifts that people are going to use over and over again. And a lot of times I've gotten socks for holidays, socks in my stocking, which is weird because the stocking is already a sock. And sometimes you're not that excited, but not until you see these socks that they'll knock your socks off. Feature socks are more than stocking stuffers. They're engineered with a custom-like fit to prevent bunching, slipping, friction, and blisters. Now, look, I'm no Enzo. I don't know if people want to hear me talk about what's going on with my feet, but socks are very important to me, and Features makes an outstanding sock. It's more than just a regular sock that you would get that it's just like, okay, just like a cutout, and there you go, put it on your foot. The Feature sock is really contoured to your feet. They've put more thought into socks than you could possibly imagine. Not all socks are created equal. Features has a huge range of socks specifically geared towards supporting your feet for different activities. I wore them on the plane the other night coming to New York, and a lot of times my feet start to swell a little bit on the plane. Not with the Features. They've engineered different socks for cycling, running, plantar fasciitis relief, and more. Just don't wear the ankle socks with dress shoes like Cody's do. That Enzo will tell you that's not a good look. Each pair of Features are made with an anatomical design that conforms to the left foot and the right foot. They have a letter on them. So if you're not so good with left and right like me, it tells you where they go. You have zone-specific compression that gives you targeted support and keeps your socks from slipping or bunching at the heel, or worse, sliding into your shoe, with multiple cushion levels available from ultralight to max cushioning for unsurpassed performance. They've got a lifetime guarantee. What else can you get with a lifetime guarantee? That in coming into Big Brother 42, your Features aren't doing so hot, you'll get a new one. No questions asked. See why Features has quickly become the number one running sock in America. For listeners of Rob's podcast, you can get 10% off your first pair of Features by going to features.com using the promo code RHAP. That's $10 off your first pair when you go to FEETURES.com. Get it? Features. Enter promo code RHAP at checkout. Again, that's Features. FEETURES.com. Use promo code RHAP to get 10% off your first pair of Features. All right, let's take some questions from the audience as we talk through this wonderful episode of television tonight. And let's take one from Paul Calafiore has a comment. Paul Calafiore says, tonight marks Cody and I officially placing third place or higher on 4 out of the 6 shows we've done. We have a combined comp win tally of 36 wins, making us the best sibling duo and top duo in reality TV show history. We've dominated your screens for 6 years. Boy, we're really cherry picking some stats here. I don't know if the people over at Elias put this together, but they officially have placed third place or higher out of 4 out of the 6 shows that they've done. So
were two of those 4 Cody and 2 of them Polly, or were three of, I don't know how, I don't watch the challenge, so I don't know.
Well, we know he did Polly not place in the top, in the top 4, in Big Brother 18. Mm-hmm. So it has to be a lot of challenge spoilers. He should put a hashtag challenge spoiler.
Yeah.
Are they the best sibling duo? I can't think of any other sibling.
Is there,
I feel like literally one half of the 20s single-handedly has made more in game winnings potentially. So
yeah. And that book's not closed yet. Pooya.
Exactly. We're still going. So Cali Fury, do more. You need to do more here. Mm-hmm. Okay. There you go.
Don't take your foot off the gas. Don't get complacent, Cali Fury bros. Okay. Jason Warren says, how did CBS think that the fake comic book fights and grilled cheese sandwich commentary would be more interested than, oh, I don't know, a buyback? Okay. Would we have wanted to see a buyback? For what? Why?
I don't really want to see one. I mean, normally I like buybacks.
Who do you want to come back?
I don't really want anyone to come back.
We would just get like Day would come back and then immediately get voted out and we'd all be disappointed again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't build me up to break me down one last time. I don't need that. Let's just move on.
I respectfully disagree. We needed more grilled cheese sandwiches and another Big Brother Battle of the Clash of the Comics next week.
You know what would have happened? Rob, here's what would have happened. Exactly what happened in the Clash of Comics. Everyone's like, oh my God, Davon and Memphis. Davon's coming in. Memphis back in the house once again.
Chris would be happy. Yeah.
Who's here for that? Christmas.
If they had a pre-jury buyback, I'd be interested in that. But if they're not doing a pre-jury buyback, then I don't care.
Yeah. Should they have just done the whole season on the Clash of the Comics where then they didn't have to, everybody could have just quarantined at home. We're going to watch the whole thing online. It's fine.
I was going to make a joke when I coming in. I was like, are we talking about the show we watch on TV or the Brand Steel that I've retconned as official canon for the season of Big Brother?
Perfect. Okay. This is Jacer, Stan, until the end. Why does Christmas care so much about Memphis's cartoon? We don't care who she picked, but apparently she does. Hey, Jacer, stand till the end. Let me talk to you. That's her best friend, okay? They're best friends. He might feel some kind of way. He didn't get picked by Christmas, okay? They have a special friendship. It's not romantic. Don't put that out there.
Yeah, did you not listen to her whole monologue?
They're emotional friends.
All this information.
Yeah, come on. All right. Mindy says, I love the name of this week's veto, The Fast and the Furious. Do you think it lived up to its name? Well, it wasn't that furry, and it wasn't that fast.
Where were
the hamster costumes? Where was that? Mm-hmm. Just kidding. I would not have liked that. I am very glad they did not put them
in. Why, Melissa, do you have a fear of hamsters?
It's not really a fear. It's more of just like I'm not a huge fan of when they make them look stupid on this show. And I know that's part of the Big Brother brand is making them look as dumb as possible. Yes. So, you know, if we can make them look dumb just by having them go on a hamster wheel minus the costumes, like I would prefer that.
Also, dressing up in a giant hamster costume is my biggest insecurity. So,
So please don't bring it up.
Why do you not like the costumes? You feel like that it's humiliating to the contestants and that's not what you're about?
It's more about like it's humiliating to me when like people come in the room and like, see what I'm watching. Or like I try and tell people that Big Brother is a strategy based show.
I'm a serious Big Brother podcaster.
Right. It's like, oh yeah, I podcast about the show Big Brother and they check it out and it's embarrassing. And like I'd prefer it to be as like less embarrassing as possible, so you know.
Yeah, like tonight, if you said it, like this is the most important veto of the season.
Yeah.
They're on giant hamster wheels.
I feel like the minute someone walks into the room and you're watching humans run on hamster wheels with like corn husk wood chips around them, it's already done. Might as well slap that costume on and just make the whole fantasy come to life. Point. Like,
back from that.
I like the hamster wheel. It reminded me of Double Dare. So it was a win. It was a win for me. Okay,
I actually like the competition.
Okay. Katie says, how proud are we of Enzo of having a home with three floors and doing pull-ups? Is this going back to the first episode where Enzo talked about he was such a comp beast now?
Yeah, look at him go.
Look at him now.
Yeah. Mm. Isn't it? Does he have a home with three floors? Doesn't he have family members?
Someone has it.
He has three floors. It's questionable whether the house is three stories. He talked about his aunt lives in the basement who shaves his back. Shaves his back. Yeah, and then there's a first floor and a second floor. I don't think it's a four floor home. All right.
I doubt it.
Probably not. Okay. Lane Sipe says, is there a chance the jury segments have been misleading about how much of an actual chance Nicole has in winning the game? I don't think that the jury has talked much about Nicole winning the game. And I think that the jury is going to be very impressed. Grace, if we get a jury segment tomorrow, they're going to see Nicole win the HOH and they're going to see Nicole win the veto. I think that the jury is going to say, well, we got to give it to Nicole.
Yeah, I think she gets a little bump in her stock tomorrow if there's a jury segment. I think it seems like potentially Danny is someone who's sort of maybe poisoning the jury against Nicole.
Nobody ever does what she wants. That's true. They do the opposite of what Danny says.
Maybe it's reverse psychology. Maybe she's rooting for Nicole. So she's actually stumping for her, but trying to poison her game, and then they vote for her. It's 3D chess she's playing.
Yeah. How did Danny do in the Clash of the Comics? Let's see.
I have a bracket.
Regulator, a meow meow beat her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meow meow took a lot of victory, and that is a person beat Danny. Yeah. Melissa, if you were in the Clash of the Comics, would you rather punch people with an elastic arm or shoot lightning?
Probably shoot lightning.
Hmm. Yeah.
I just think that makes more sense for me, you know?
Mm hmm.
I mean, when they didn't have an animation, they just moved their whole body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Javon with moved her forehead to hit people with.
Yeah. Cody was falling in love with the Davon headbutts. He kept bigging those up like they were really moving mountains. So I would prefer a good headbutt. I want the headbutt action.
Okay. All right. Got another question from Scott Gray. We have two episodes Friday and Monday. What are the episodes going to be about? I mean, this is really pretty wild that we have a show tomorrow night. We're going to have the eviction and all of the drama surrounding will Christmas get voted out on Thursday night. It'll go back and forth about that. Then we'll see the jury house, and I guess we'll start part one of the final HOH potentially. Then Friday night, we're not even going to start part one of the HOH because we have an episode on Friday night, which I anticipate is going to be the recap of the recap. Melissa, when you have so many highlights from one season of Big Brother, you cannot stop down and not spend an hour reviewing them all. Hey, remember the time that we did this?
Oh, for sure. There's so much to talk about. There's so much going on. I mean, I'm wondering how much of the recap is going to be about the first half of the season and like all the people that were there the first half. Like, remember Janelle and Kaser? Remember,
what were their moments? Like, what are they going to even be remembering? Like, hey, remember when Janelle wore the star costume?
Yeah, it's going to be like Janelle with that vampire facial and Kaser talk about them being 40 and then like,
The DJ competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, them winning the DJ competition and getting safety suite. And then it's going to be, you know, them laughing together and reminiscing about old times. And it's just going to be filled with Janelle and Kaser moments.
Stop spoiling the episode, Melissa.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
I want to watch it.
I feel like the three things I'm seeing that we'll be on, if I'm predicting, we're going to get more of the Christmas and the Star Babies again because the audience liked that. We're going to get the Bailey tricycle punishment, which we never really got to see on the show.
I'll take that. I'll take some action on that we don't get that.
Oh, no. You think they're just going to disappoint us one more time?
Yeah, I think that feels like a really deep pull for them to show you something that didn't happen.
Well, then how about this? How about they show a compilation of everyone jumping out of behind doors and pranking each other? I feel like that's possible.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. I totally see that.
Yeah, I think if anything, we have like some other like sloppy things that they didn't use from the beginning of the season that we're going to get now. So I guess Bailey riding the tricycle could be in that category. We'll see. Yeah, but the bigger question, Grace, is what the hell are they going to put on Monday night?
Yeah, typically, do they show part two of the typically in the finale? And is the finale 2 hours as well?
Yeah, and it's a 2 hour finale.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe Jimmy has requested 20 minutes of time in the finale to give some proverbs.
It's possible. I kind of feel like
she's been pretty high on God this year. Maybe she'll give a sermon on Monday night.
Mm-hmm. I feel like what we would like to see is like maybe, you know, extended jury time. That would be fun. What we will probably see is about 40-ish minutes of how they got here. More recap. The journey to the finals for Enzo, for Cody, for Nicole. Like, how did they get here? I feel like that's probably what we're going to end up getting.
Yeah, remember that segment in Survivor where they used to, like, walk around and look at all the different torches? Like, yeah, that's going to be something like that. They're going to look at, like, each of their little, like, house keys or something and be like, remember Davon.
I can't wait.
Is that walking up to the memory wall? Like, yeah.
One by one.
Let's move to the next photo.
The problem with the jury round table is that it doesn't make sense to do it without the last jury member there. And you don't get the last jury member, right? Until the finale. So if they would expedite that process and then, like, we go into the finale with two people, I don't think that's the worst thing. That would be great.
There's no point in having three people on finale night. They need two.
No, they're not going to change that up. They got 2 hours to kill on the finale.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they could spend that with more time for jury questioning and speeches instead of cutting them down to 30-second.
How about this, Grace? Okay. The final three should be best of seven parts. Seven part final HOH. Yeah.
All right, I'm here for it.
We have the time. We have the time.
What else are we going to do?
Right?
Round six, a clash of comics. You're drafting
The first person to win three is the final HOH. Okay.
And they show every single clash of the comics.
Yeah. All right. Never on Yada says, if you were drafting any BB comic, not person, but comic, in a luxury comp, who would be your first choice? What's the competition? Why do you care, Never on Yadas?
Any BB comic of all time?
No, I think that they want to know which person, which comic would be our first choice in a competition.
I mean, I've been told to go with the Fist, so I feel like I should say that. I feel like having a king there, you know, I'm a king. There was a King Kaser. That would be a good connection for me.
Yes.
So maybe, I don't know, maybe the Fist is probably the choice at this point. Why would I why would I deviate from that?
Enzo took Tyler first overall. I thought that was a pretty good choice, but Abracurl-Dabra.
I thought Abracurl-Dabra was super weird that Abracurl-Dabra shot lightning from his hair.
Yeah. Did you hear the line where they when Memphis beat Abraco, that they said the fist is mightier than the hair? That classic expression.
Oh wow.
Recco Watson says, one, has there ever been a time where the person who was not on the block at the final four won the veto and used it to take someone off? No, you cannot do that because then
they can't.
What would happen if that were to happen? It cannot happen. It's never happened.
It's the same as voting out the other person, right?
Yeah. It has never happened, and it will never happen. Okay? All right. And then I think that might be it for questions. Yeah. Let me ask Dicey, do we have live feed spoilers to talk about?
I'm going to lean no on this
one.
Not
really.
I'm going to lean no. Yeah, for the most part, it's exactly what everyone would have imagined had they not been listening to the live feed updates. But essentially, it's looking grim for Christmas. It's a grim Christmas, gloomy Christmas.
Twas the night before Christmas's eviction.
Yeah,
exactly.
All through the house.
And the only other thing is, if you wanted to know, is that, potentially Enzo is thinking about the end game more than we thought. Maybe he doesn't take Cody, maybe, but that's it. And the other thing is Nicole will definitely take Cody. So that's all you needed to know. So the reason we kind of got that triumphant music after a Final Four veto could be because this might be what the finale is already looking like, potentially.
Grace, this is a little bit of Boston Rob winning the Final Four immunity in Redemption Island.
Yeah, I think so. I think if Enzo did win that final competition and did choose to cut Cody, I think people would be pretty excited. I'm just not I don't know if he wins. I think he probably does. But it'd be a fun moment in the finale. So not to like set everyone up for more optimism just to get knocked back down. But that could be fun.
That'd be something. That'd be something. I wouldn't win the draft then, but it would still be exciting.
Oh, Rob, you better not celebrate then, just in case. The 5% chance. Don't celebrate too soon.
Don't get too carried away.
There's absolutely no reason Cody should get rid of Nicole, right? Like, there's no, like, even, like, if we were, like, looking at what his best move is. I mean, Christmas will never take him, right? So it doesn't even make sense for him.
Yeah. I think it'd be good for Enzo and Nicole if Cody went and Christmas stayed, but I don't think that it makes any sense for Cody in that situation. So,
no. Well, is there anything else that you want to talk about from Big Brother 22?
No.
I feel like you're so defeated.
Well, I just feel like there's nothing to this season anymore, if there ever was anything to this season. And so, you know, I'm excited to see the finale just because, like, I love finale nights and, you know, premieres, finale nights, double evictions. Those nights are very fun and exciting because really you don't know what's going to happen. Like, even though we're all saying, oh, Cody's going to win, like, there's a chance he doesn't win. There's a chance Nicole pulls it out or Enzo. And so, you know, I am looking forward to the finale. I am concerned for these next two episodes just because I have no idea, like, or I guess not the next two, but after Thursday, and Friday and Monday, like, what are they going to show us? So, you know, not thrilled to watch those, but I am very excited for the finale, and so I'm, you know, it'll be good.
Yeah, Grace, how about you?
I'm excited for all the dreamers to have to sit on the stage in their masks and us not be able to hear them. That should be Julie stands on the stage. So I like finale nights. I'm actually I think I have a lot of problems with the way sort of the season went down, but I mean it is fun. It has been fun to, you know, it's a really good game Cody has played if he can make it to the end and win. So I think that that's at least something. It's a silver lining out of this season. So I am kind of hoping for Cody to pull it off. Although I think you've said this before, a Nicole win might be the best postseason drama we can hope for.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
you couldn't even finish the sentence about the season being fun.
I know.
Right. You're like, it's been fun. Cody's played a good game.
It's been a season. Yeah. Puya, anything else that you want to talk about with Big Brother 22?
Look, so here's the situation, right? Yeah. I have done the worst I've ever done in the Stockwatch. I'm like, I'm your 4,800th ranked. Every draft I've been in, one with Liana, I've been done from like 3 weeks ago. I've been done in the other draft from like a month ago. The Puya Fridays have been a little bit light, but it's been pretty fun, given that we were almost looking at none of this. We got the slop this season. That's been a lot of fun to tune into. It's been a lot of fun to hear all these new voices. So I still see a lot of good stuff that came out of all this. The silver lining's there. Finale's always going to be fun regardless, right? Especially because we kind of know what the result's likely going to be. It's more of a, I'm already prepared mentally for what I'm expecting to see. So I'm going to come in and just take all the nonsense for what it's worth. Take all the results and just like really, really just marinate in it and just, you know, enjoy my time as long as I have it. Cause then who knows where we go from here? Ultimately, this wasn't my favorite season, but it was still a season. It's kind of like pizza. I'll take it. I'll deal with it. I'll have to microwave it and maybe put it on the oven for the crispiness, but it's fine.
Yeah. I asked the chat to throw out some questions. Mark wants to know, if Nicole wins again, is she the queen, Melissa? That should we hesitate at all before calling Nicole Franzel the queen if she could somehow pull this off?
I don't think being the queen of Big Brother is about wins. I think that Janelle has that title and I don't think anything will take that away from her really. You know, but I do think that if Nicole wins, I think we really need to give her some respect. And I think that I don't want people to, you know, be tearing her down in terms of her gameplay, because that's very impressive to win twice. Like, I will be the first to give her respect. I mean, I already feel like I think she's played a really great game this season. And, you know, and I'll also be the first to admit that I didn't think that she was playing a great game at Big Brother 16 or Big Brother 18. And when she won Big Brother 18, I thought it was a fluke and I thought it was wrong. And I was like Paul should have won that for sure. I don't see what Nicole did. She didn't do anything. But I feel like now I'm starting to really understand her game and I am impressed by it. And maybe it's not necessarily the type of gameplay that we love to watch, or maybe she's not the character we love to watch. But I think that in terms of like the strategy and the gameplay, I think we all need to give respect there because look at her. I mean, she's made it to the final, probably final three and possibly final two and possibly winning twice. And no one else has done that. So, you know,
Melissa, I've never doubted her.
Sure.
I drafted her.
Go watch my
argument for her.
Yeah, I would like to see her, your commentary on that one. I don't remember exactly what you said.
I think what I said was that she fell to me in the third round of the draft, and I said that look, that I think that we're too low on Nicole, and she's somebody who works the refs, and she always gets what she wants one way or another, and I think that she has a she has a shot to be able to do this again.
Yeah, look at her now.
Look at her now. But she's not going to win.
I don't know. I think she might. Ooh. Check my Twitter. A long time ago, I predicted that Nicole would win this thing. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Do you think she can beat Cody?
I think she can beat Cody.
Wow. I would sign on that right now for Nicole to win. I think that, as Grace mentioned, I think it would create the most drama. And I have her in the draft also. So for me, it's a win-win-win. Yeah. So I'm very excited.
If Nicole wins, it's a win for me as well as a win for Enzo because Enzo's in my draft. But a win for Nicole means I am a prophet and everyone needs to listen to me. So.
And Taryn owes you $100 then.
He'll owe me $200.
Okay. Puya, do you think that we will see any other Big Brother between now and summer of 2021?
It's genuinely possible. I mean, think about how they put this together. They've definitely, if they had any problems along the way, they know what those problems now are since they've had the whole season play out. They figured out the protocols and they got this done, right? So it's easy to produce for them. It's easy to put out for them. And it has a lot of engagement online. So a lot of conversation online, sometimes negative, most of the times negative, perhaps, but it's still engagement that the CBS will get. So I do think that it's also a good driver for their All Access catalog to get people to get on the All Access train. It's genuinely possible. Now, if you told me, are we going to see more returnees again? That part, I don't know. I feel like given the reception here, they might stay away from that well for another decade, perhaps, but
maybe two.
There's a decent chance we might see something.
No, right. Not
like, I think we see a Big Brother celebrity.
Yeah.
That's possible.
I think so too. We'll see. All right. Let's talk about what else is coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast and Rob Has a Website.com. Puya, who's this guy?
This is Yazan. I'll give you a quick detail on Yazan. So Yazan has fallen for an American girl named Brittany, who is still married to someone and has not told him that she's not divorced yet. And he got kicked out of his house. His dad kicked him out, and now he's living. Well, he was homeless for a couple of days, and now his family's against him, and she still hasn't told him. She hasn't gotten divorced. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. But that's Yazan.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's heavy.
Yes. So if you want more of the other couple's stories that are probably lighthearted than Yazan's, you can listen to the 90 Day Fiancé podcast The Other Way. I did it earlier today, talked with Sasha all about it. You can check that out.
Yeah. All right. Check it out with the always funny Sasha Joseph. And then The Bachelorette is back with Haley Strong and Rahap Recapper Amy. And of course, everybody should check out The Bachelorette, but Rahap Recapper Amy posted a incredible tweet thread of me at different points in my life as all of the legendary Big Brother punishment costumes that Melissa hates. So if you're interested in punishment costumes, unlike Melissa, you can check out that tweet thread from Rahap Recapper Amy. It was incredible. And check out Amy and Haley on The Bachelorette. And they managed to figure out how to film a season during a bubble, unlike Survivor. So check that out over on our Rahap Ups feed. Then today, News AF. We talked about There was something coming in the air at Phil Collins' house this week. Puya, have you kept up with this drama?
I have not, so I'm very intrigued after we get off to check out News AF.
Yeah, we talked about that on News AF, that Phil Collins has a disgruntled ex-wife who has taken over his Miami compound with armed guards and is holed up there. And Phil Collins is trying to get all of his Alamo memorabilia back. That and much more on News AF with Danny and with Tyson. Then, this was a lot of fun. The other day, T-Bird found Katie Gallagher from Survivor Palau, and boy, get ready for this one. This was a wild ride with Katie Gallagher, and I don't want to give too much away. There's a very NSFW story that Katie Gallagher tells that T-Bird prompts her to, and you could hear all that on the latest Talking with T-Bird. Katie Gallagher, it's a lot of fun. And then they were texted, like, I was on like a group text with T-Bird and Katie Gallagher that was like 100 texts in a row earlier tonight when I was taking a shower. I'll have to catch up on that as well later on tonight. Of course, live feed update is coming up on Thursday morning. Taryn will be live at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Did something happen today? Probably not, but check it out anyway because it's fun and you're going to miss them when they're gone. Live at 11 a.m. Eastern tomorrow morning with Taryn. And then what else is going on? Oh yes, our Thursday night recap. I will be getting ready for the big day with Danny Cesternino. Not as iconic of a brotherly duo as the Calafiores, but still, that Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Mari will be joining you on Thursday night to recap the latest Big Brother eviction. And then on Friday night, it'll be a recap of a recap with, should be a fun one, Taryn, Liana, Chappelle. Get ready for Friday night. Should be a lot of fun to talk through all of the things we remember from this season gone by. Of course, all this podcasting made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Check out everything we have going on for our patrons over at robhasawebsite.com/patrons. At the end of the month, I tell you, you are probably better off to check out the annual option to become a patron. Pay for 11 months, get 12. You won't get charged again at the start of the next month if you check out the annual feature over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Big Brother pregame show will not be on tonight. Instead, I will be live before the finale coming up on Wednesday night, October 28th. So be on the lookout for a Wednesday night pregame show coming up next week. Of course, follow us on social media at Rob Has a Podcast on Twitter, at RJP Grams on Instagram, and at Rob Has a Podcast on Facebook. Of course, also, that's good. Okay. All right. Good. Then, yes. All right. And make sure you're registered to vote November 3rd. Check it out. vote.gov. We are less than 2 weeks away. So I don't know if you're waiting around, stop waiting around. You're running out of time. 13 days and counting. Okay. Really happy to be back here tonight with everybody. I really missed being on the podcast these last couple of days. So very, very fun to be back with everybody. We're also going to have amazing race coverage coming up tomorrow. I will be talking with Jessica Leese and Mike Bloom about Amazing Race episode number 2. We also have our second Amazing Race podcast of the week, The Tar Pits. We had a lot of fun with our bonus episode on week number 1. And then it'll be a lot of fun on The Tar Pits. So again, this weekend, as we continue to bring you 2 Amazing Race podcasts a week. All right, Grace, what else are you up to outside of all the fun we get to have talking about Big Brother 22?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at HiFromGrace, and I actually just launched a podcast. We just dropped episode 4 this past Sunday. It's called Hold Up. So you can search us on Twitter at Hold Up Podcast, but that's with 1 P, a little bit confusing. We're an oddcast, so Hold Up Oddcast. We look back at LGBTQ queer media and see if it holds up. So last Sunday, we talked about the Ellen episode. My co-host is Hudson, who is a Rob is a Podcast patron as well. A lot of fun. Check me out on Twitter.
That's okay. Cool. All right. Melissa, how about you?
You know, just trying to encourage people to vote, text banking, all that stuff, all that fun stuff. If anyone wants to start text banking and doesn't know how to start, talk to me because I've been doing it nonstop and it's super easy. But yeah, we're getting down to the stretch, but that's about it. You can find me on all social media. It's Melissa with 3 A's.
Yes. Melissa is also fighting the nose shamers. If you're out there.
One nose shamer at a time.
Melissa is not going to tolerate your nose takes, okay?
No way.
Yeah. Of course. Puya, what's next for you?
So, 90 Day Podcast, we talked about it. Masked Singer's on hiatus for the week because of baseball. The World Series is going on. So, we'll be back maybe next week if there's no Game 7 or we're like the final game. Or the week after, it'll be fine. It'll be a fun time. Me and Leon are ready to talk about that. And other than that, I'm busy with my Twitch stuff. I've been getting some hosts to play some Among Us, some friends to play Among Us. That's been a lot of fun on Sundays, 5 p.m. Eastern. And yeah, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Puyaism on all three platforms.
Mm-hmm. I tried to explain Among Us to some people who, you know, I'm very much in this bubble of Rob has a podcast and in this world. And I tried to explain what Among Us was to some people who are not really in this space. And they looked at me like I was crazy. I was trying to explain, like, no, it's like a game and you kill people. And it's like mafia. They're like, what's mafia? They're like, I was just trying to explain. It's like talking to people, like describing something from another planet.
Yeah. The minute
it's on a spaceship.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. No, mafia is the one you can lean on, right? It's like mafia video game edition. So if they don't know what mafia is, then you're going to have a hard time explaining it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to say like, oh no, my kids play. They're like, what, you play this game? People are murdered with your kids? yeah, they like it. By the way, Puya, that I know you're busy Twitch streaming, but my sons, they like to play Among Us in real life.
Oh, okay. Do tell. Like a role play type.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, Dad, let's play Among Us. And okay, I'm the imposter, and then you guys go around and you pretend to do all the tasks around the house. And my younger son was like, yeah, and let's wait until nighttime so that it'll be like space outside.
And then we're doing
the tasks, and then it's like, I found the dead body. Quick, have an emergency meeting.
Any wiring that needs to be fixed, you can just have the kids go fix the wiring.
Yeah, but then but then the imposter has like a sword and is like whacking people. That's not as great.
Really funny.
We have some real life Among Us going on.
Yeah,
all right. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us here tonight. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.